So file, open, project solution, and I want the bubble sort, a variation on it. Okay, now I've just got to find it. Week 9 arrays. There it is. Bubble sort.
Is that another version of bubble
sort? Yeah. So I've got it in a folder, so it doesn't matter that the name is the same, but... And I actually remembered to do those, so that's good. As I said, it's been one of my absent-minded professor days. Okay, so what I did here is I said I set up an array of 4 characters, and then I said, okay, I'm going to enter the name and the number. So if I run this, okay, so now it's decided to take its time. I thought we were going so well. Almost, I think. However, I have the, it was saying 100% before this came up. Okay, so this time it says over here, enter the number and the name separated by a space. Okay, so the input box is kind of come up when I hit enter numbers. And it says enter the number and name separated by the state. So I'll say 12 first, because I'm not feeling very creative. And then I'll put 2 second. And then I'll put 15 third. And then I'll put 7 fourth. And that's the numbers. Wait a minute. It looks like I got a blank, which is going to cause problems. So I'm going to rerun this because I did not put in error checking to catch that. You know, when you are writing for the real world, you have to check up on the user. You know, I don't want to make the programs real long, so I don't do a lot of checking up on the user. You had to do a validation program that did. But on the whole, I don't put the code in because it's very repetitious and very time-consuming. So... because of that, and actually I think I'll call it 12, and then type the word 12 as the name, and then 2, 2, so that you can see they go together, 15, 15, four, four, and 7, 7. Okay, so there are my numbers. Okay? Now, the 2 and the 4 and the 7 are going to be a problem. Because, again, I didn't tell it. I'm telling it to take out 2 characters. So it's going to take 2 space. Okay? So, again, I should have been checking up on the user because these will be a problem. So I'm going to do it one more time and do it right. And that information should have been conveyed to the user. I should have said enter a 2-digit number and then the name. And I should be checking on what the user enters in to make sure that they followed instructions. So I'm going to stop this. I'm going to run it again. And this time, when I type in the numbers, okay, I'm typing 12, 12, and then 02, 2, so that I'm giving it a 2-digit number, and then 15, 15, and then let's go with 07, 7, and then we'll go with 11, 11. So now everything is a 2-digit number, okay? So I put those in, and then as I was putting them in, I was up there in a loop. And the loop says for 0 to 4, which tells me that I am putting in 5 things. And then I said, put them into numarray modified by I. Okay, so it's going to go into numarray modified by I. And then just because I wanted you to be able to see them, I'm displaying them here. So then I go down and do the flip. And this is the same flip that we looked at last time for the bubble sort. But now, instead of referring to different things in different arrays, I'm saying num array modified by sub 1, take the substring of the first 2 characters and compare it. So instead of just having one array that had the numbers and one array that had the names, I put them in the same array. And so I'm saying compare the first 2 characters. Okay? So I'm going to compare 12 to 02. I'm comparing the first 2 numbers. They need to be flipped, and so I will flip them. And when I flip them, I am going to flip the entire thing because I want to keep the name with the number. So when I say flip them, I'm actually flipping the name and the number. But the comparison is just between the numbers. Okay? So I compare 12 and 02, and they need to be flipped. So I take 02 with the word 2 and replace it with where 12 used to be, and then I go through the hold area in the whole thing. So I said take the whole slot and put 12, 12 in the whole slot. Then put 2, 2 up where 12, 12 was. And then bring 12, 12 back and put it in the second one.
And then it goes, so is that, it's going to go to 12 then and compare to 15?
Exactly.
And then it'll go, so 12 is in its correct spot, correct?
It's going to filter to the bottom. It's going to filter to the bottom. So if I click sort, there they are, and they're in order. This is a bubble sort, just a little bit different. If you look at my week of thing, I listed bubble sort alternative or something. So So I'm putting in the number with the name, and then I'm saying, look at the first two digits of the number and compare with the first two digits of the next number. If they need to flip, flip the whole thing. So I keep the number and the name together.
Okay, so my question comes up. So how does it keeps running through each one until it hits 11? And then compares, because now you're at 12 in the second spot, right?
A bubble sort would be, it was going to compare 12-2. So we're going to end up with it flipping, and so it's going to have 2-12. Then it compares the 12 to the 15, and they don't have to flip. Then it compares the 15 to the 7, and they have to flip.
It
already did that. Okay, yes, it did the flip. So, okay, it started out with 12-2, and it did the flip. Okay, so now I've got 0-2-12. Now the next thing it's going to compare is 12-15, and that doesn't have to flip. Then it's going to compare 15-7, and those have to flip. So I'm going to end up with 7 and 15 there. And then it compares 15-11, and those have to flip.
So it would never compare 12-7?
No, not until the next pass. So at the end of this pass, I've got 12-7.
Seven.
I flipped. That's why we have computers do this.
So basically after the loop, it would then check
11, 15. And 15 is now locked in at the bottom after the first pass.
Yeah.
Then the next pass, it would do a flip of 12-7. So it would be 7 and 12.
Right.
And then a flip of 12-11. So it would be 11 and 12. And now the 12 is locked in. And in fact, now it's done, because the next pass that it goes through, it would compare the 2-7, that's fine, 7-11, that's fine, 11-12, that's fine, and it's all done. And because it went through an entire pass without doing a flip, it's done. But the point here was that in the previous one, I had the ID number in one array and the name in another array. And for this one, I put them both in the same array. So I said enter the number and the name separated by a space. So they both went into the array. And when I checked for a flip, I just looked at the first two characters. And when you look at just the first two characters, that means I'm comparing numbers. But when I actually did a flip, I flipped the entire number and name to keep them together. Questions? Okay, so the sort on this was exactly the same, except for the fact that the number and name are both in the array, and I'm only checking part of the thing. I'm checking a substring of the first two characters to determine when I want to flip. But the flip flips the entire thing. Okay? Questions, or we will move on. The next one is two-dim array, another type of two-dim array. So these are just... do file, open, project solution, two-dim array. Okay. This is just showing you. This one's kind of interesting because I have a description, I have a product price, and a product cost. Let me move it over a little bit so you can see. So I have in the array, and this is a different kind of thing, I have the information about a television. Everything we've seen before has had the same type of data. This has got different data. So I've got the television, and then I've got its price, and then I've got what it cost. And then I go down to a computer and its price and what it cost, and a laptop and a tablet, and I'm buying expensive ends on all of them. Okay? So I have different products, and this is just to show that you can do that. You can have a different, the array doesn't have to be all one thing. I can set it up like this. And so if I want to see, let's run it. Okay, display list box ones. And that's the first one. So I am just putting out there the information that came from the first line of the array. And notice how this is set up with the curly braces and the parentheses. Each set is in curly braces, and then the rows are got the parentheses. So notice where the parentheses are and where the curly braces are. Okay, there's curly brace at the beginning of the end covering the whole array. Then each row is within parentheses and separated by the comma. And within the parentheses, I have the curly braces. And so when I come down to printing out the product, I said print out product and make it 0, 0. Okay, because the array is called products. And I said, print out 0, 0. Well, 0, 0 gets the television. The price is going to be 0, 1, and the cost is going to be 0, 2. Then I go down to the next one and say, okay, now show me 1, 0, 1, 1, and 1, 2. Now show me 2, 0, 2, 1, 2, 2. And then show me 3, 0, 3, 1, 3, 2. And it shows the entire thing. So if I go over here, that's what the product looks like to get the price and the cost. 0 means go to this first element, and then 0 means go to the first element, and once you're at the first element, First row, first element is 0, 0. First row, second element is 0, 1. And then 0, 2. And then the next row is 2, 0, 2, 1, 2, 2. But that's just arrays are actually used a lot, and they're kind of fascinating how they work. Okay? But this is showing the description, the price, and the cost all in the same array and all having to do with each row. Each row is a different product and the information about that product. Then the second one, I just do the same exact thing, except I went through a loop. And so it's printing out exactly the same thing. But this time I'm going through a loop and I'm saying I is going to tell me what row it is. So I is going to, when I is a 0, it will show the first row. When I is a 1, it will show the second row. and so forth. So I is showing the row. If I wanted to, I could have had an embedded loop inside here that went from 0 to 2, showing each element. Okay, I only put in one there. But if I wanted to, I could have put in a second for loop that said J is going to run from 0 to 2, and it would do that.
I should probably know this, but when you set the variable I to 0, for loop, so it's for I equals 0, 2, y product dot length negative 1.
Just because the length will come back as a number and the subscripts are start at 0, so I subtract negative 1 to get the 0. So it would have returned a 4. But in fact, I want it to go only up from 0 to 3. I want the 4 elements to be 0 to 3. Okay? So the length returns 4, but the subscripts need to be 0 through 3. Return 4, because there's only 4 things up there: television, computer.
Yeah, so you didn't put the minus 1.
That's right. It would go, no, if I, it will, okay. Length returns 4, because there are four items up there. The minus 1 turns it to 3, so I'm going 0 to 3, because there are 4 elements, but the first one is the 0, then the 1, then the 2, then the 3. And I don't want the index to get higher than 3.
Gotcha.
Okay. What about you, Mike? Does that make sense?
Minus 1.
So the minus 1 is because there are 4 things, but I want it to run from 0 to 3.
If you put it, like, even if you had left it at 0, you would still think that there's a fifth index.
Well, not a fifth. A fourth.
Oh, yeah, fourth and then.
Okay, now let's try it. Maybe that'll help. If I take out the minus 1 here, okay, and then I run it, okay, and it's in the second one that I did that, so I display the list box, and it crashes. Okay. And it crashes because the index was outside the bounds of the array. So it crashed because the index is outside the bounds of the array. The array only went up from 0, 1, 2, 3. The length was at 4. So when I tried to use an index of 4, it crashed because I was outside the boundaries of the array.
Yeah. But the index only reaches 3 anyway, so you go past and you crash.
Right. So this length was a 4. Okay. The length here was 4 because it returned a 4, but I don't call them 0, 1, 2, 3. I call them 0, 1, 2, 3. I don't call them 1, 2, 3, 4. So I take the 4, I then subtract 1 from it, gives me 3. Which matches with the big number over there. The big index, the last index, maybe I should say. 0, 1, 2, and 3 are the indexes. So length gave me 4. It tried to come up with a fourth item. There wasn't a fourth item in the array. There's only a 0, 1, 2, and 3 items.
You would just have to just be conscious of
it. There's a lot of times that you have to do that. Things like length return the real length, but the index, because they start at 0, way back, a few years back, probably 10, Visual Basic actually gave you a choice between having indexes start at 0 and start at 1, and then they conformed to the way the rest of the world was working, which was it starts with 0. And in fact, it was probably a good idea that they conform to that, because when you give somebody a choice, then they have to remember what choice they made. And that's not always easy. So is this making sense now?
Yeah, I don't think it explained it, but that's what I was going to ask, because you went before, and it's actually 0, 1, 2,
Yes.
4 is going 5.
Yeah, if the length had been 5, then you could go up to 4. But the length was 4, so you can only go up to 3. Okay, because the length is the real length. But because we start counting at 0 when we're dealing with subscripts, it's got to be one length, one less than the real length. Because length, dot length only gets, doesn't start with 0. Dot length counts these as 1, 2, 3, 4. But then when I subscript them, they count it as 0, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Okay. And I agree, that makes your head hurt, but that's the way it works. The first language I learned started with 1. And it was a lovely world. Okay, the next one is structure. Okay, so notice on this one I've got 2 forms. And we'll get into some more of this. Remember, I'm not in next week. It's a hybrid week. There's an open lab in here from 9:30 to 3 that you're welcome to come and use. But next week, I'm doing the family thing. And since this is a hybrid course, I get away with that. So I'm going to be out next week. Okay. Okay, so here is the form that I've set up, and that's form soups. But this one I have a separate form on, and we're going to get into more of these separate forms after my week. Or actually, I may have you read it during my week. But this is the form that is going to bring up the valid soups. So I have all of these soups, and I want it to tell me what ones are valid. Okay, so watch how this works. I'm actually going to go back and pull that up. Okay, so I start out, and I want an order for a soup. But I can't remember what the valid ones are. So I click on valid soups, and it pops up another page. And on that other page, it shows me the valid soups. So I can figure out what the valid soups are and enter them in. Okay, now notice I can't come back here. When I try to go back to the main form, it quivers and shakes at the thought of my doing that. So I have to click to return to the main form. So I have to click on that to return to the main form. Okay? So I say click to return to main, I click on it, and now I know that 24 was one of the valid soups, so I can enter it. Okay? But anytime I want to know, I can just click on that, and it comes up and shows me the valid soups. Okay. So now let's say they ordered 2 of those, and I put in the order, and I go to the array and find out that it's chicken soup for $3.29, and that gives me a price of $6.58. Okay, so that is all happening inside. If you look at the valid soups, all it has is the return button, does a me close. It doesn't have anything else. Me meaning current form, close. Okay, so it doesn't have anything else. It just says closing. And when I set up the form, I put the information in. Okay, so the valid soups had a box, and I put in the information via a collection. And there's the soups that I put in via a collection. And so there was nothing that happened inside the code, because I have a collection for this. I set up this by just dragging over a label and putting a label in there. And so it's a very simple, straightforward form. But what it does is it brings up some reference material. And that's something that frequently you want to do. I mean, I don't know if you've ever filled in a form and it asks a question and you say, how would I know? I want a list.
It's kind of like I see a lot of uses for this. Like, you can make an online menu, you know, something like, so you don't necessarily need to have numeric value. You can have
anything you want.
Word value, and then on this, on the user, on our end,
right,
numeric value, where we would know basically what's what.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's a lot of uses to clicking that. So now let's go and look at the form soups and how it goes about doing that. Okay, the valid soup. So I dim. This is considered another form. And it's an object, and it's another form. And what I want to use is an instance of that object, if you want to get an object-oriented language. So I said dim form instance as a new form of that type. Okay, and that's how you can tell it that you want a new form. And then when I want to see it, I say form instance valid soup show dialog. And show dialog brings up the form. And it brings it up such that it can't stay open. We're going to look, as I said, at more of these forms 2 weeks from now.
Show dialog makes it.
Show dialog means so you can't go back to the other until you've done it. So show dialog means you're going to show it, and then you have to get out of it, which is why I had the close inside that form. Okay, you have to get out of it before you can get back to the main.
Yeah, that's the first thing I looked for. I noticed in the other form it was just close. That's it. So
okay.
All right. Yeah, it's a mandatory closing.
Right, right. Okay. There are others where you can end up opening and opening and opening, and we will look at some that are confusing beyond belief. On the whole, you don't want two forms open at the same time, because then you get confused about where you're supposed to be entering and what you're supposed to be doing. And if you get too many of them open, because if you click on the open too many times, then you have end up with multiples open.
But if you just have like a simple, is it possible to just have like a simple submit button that's the same, you know, just...
Simple submit.
Like, you know, instead of like close, obviously.
Oh, yeah. No, right. Submit is fine, yeah.
To make the user, and then it would close. Well, does it
close? It would close it anyway.
It would close in order of opening, or would you be able to say, if there's multiple menus open, are you able to click from menu to menu, or is it just the main that's affected?
You can click from menu to menu, but you can get into, it still is an order thing that it does keep track of. If you close, no, it closes the one you click on to close.
Okay.
This is the one that's used the most, because you don't really want to have multiples open most of the time. So again, I have a form called Valid Soup. I say create an instance of that. So an instance of that form is going to be called this. And then I say show dialog. And it shows it. And the form comes up when I say show dialog. So again, when I click on this, and I... That's not what I meant to do. And when I click on Valid Soups, okay, this comes up. So I bring up an instance of that object, and then I click to return to the main menu. So it shows that when I've got the information I want, I click and return. And in this particular one, you can also hit an X to return. You don't have to use the click. You could just hit the X to return. So then I put in, okay, 27 was a valid number. I want 5 of them, and that's onion soup, and I'm getting 5. Okay, now notice what I've got. I've got 3 arrays here. So it goes in, like our other ones, and does a search to find the number that I typed in. So when it finds the number that I've done the search, okay, I find out that it's an index of 6. So that tells me that I want to come down here and take the thing with an index of 6, and I want to come down here and take a thing with an index of 6. Because those all have to do with onion soup. And again, you could have put them all on the same one, and I think we did that, where they could all be on the same one, but then you have to use substring to get to the different parts. So I've got the one array, but this time I am doing it slightly differently. Okay, so I could have 3 separate arrays. And I think I was confusing a minute ago. I could have 3 separate arrays, but what I've got now is I'm saying this is all item array. 0 to 8 is item array dot item number. Then the next 8 are item array dot item name. And the next 8 are item array dot item price. Okay? So when I do the search, and come down to do the search, I say, okay, if the item number that you typed in equals item array modified by item sub dot item number. So I'm looking at the item number in that array. Okay? So I'm looking for a match for the item number. When I'm done, this is a function. Okay? So this is a function, and we talked a little bit about functions last time, I think, right? We did talk about functions, right? Mike, somebody? Okay, so what I'm doing here is I am telling it to go to search array. So here is search array. Here's where I say go do it. I'm saying go do search array. Okay, now, I am also sending it some information. So when I say, go do it, I'm sending this piece of information. And I'm saying, go do the search. And when you get something to return, return it to WorkSoup. So WorkSoup is going to hold what it returned. Okay, so WorkSoup is holding what it returned. So I'm saying, go do search array, send it item number. So it sends it down the item number. And we will be talking shortly about this by value, by reference. That will be in another week also. So I'm saying, send it down the value. And so when I type in a 27, it said, I'm going to send down 27, and I'm receiving it right there. So here is where I received it. Okay. Then I set item sub equal to zero, match indicator equals no. Do until item sub is greater than eight or match indicator equals yes. And then I say, okay, look at the item number part of that array. So I want you to go into that array and check work item number against the items in the array modified by the subscript, which is starting out at zero, dot item number. If I wanted to look at the item name, I'd say dot item name. But I want to look at the item number, so I say dot item number. Okay. 27 came up with a 6. And so when this was a 6, I got a match. Okay. So I am returning the item array modified by item sub. I'm returning the 6. Okay, I'm returning the 6. So then I said, okay, that's what you returned. Now go to that thing you returned and extract, it's been returned up here. Extract the item name and put it here. Extract the item price and put it here. So I returned the entire item array for 6. Okay. So what I ended up returning is, let me go up and look. 27 is 6 rather. 27 is item 6. So I return 27 onion soup 446. Okay, so I returned 27 onion soup and 446, because I returned all of the stuff that had an index of 6, because I found it on the index of 6. So I returned all the stuff that had the index of 6. So then when I came up here, I said, okay, work soup contains all of that array now. I want work soup.item name. And it goes and finds the item name. And when I say I want work soup modified by dot price, it goes and finds the 446. Okay. So work soup price is finding that, work soup name is finding that. Just another way to do it. Questions? I like the fact that they give me 4 colors. I get to play up there with my 4 color combinations. Okay, questions? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Just hit my
head. Yeah. I feel like just having the arrays originally makes it a little easier.
Oh, that's right, but this also gets into how VB can manipulate data. And it's just one of its features is that it can have all of these and manipulate. Yes, you probably would never use this.
Yes.
But it's important to understand kind of how it works, because I'm saying item array modified by item sub is what I'm returning, and I'm returning to work suit. So work suit, therefore, has all of the information in it, and I can extract it using the item name and the item price. This one is kind of complicated, and I'm not sure I would ever choose to use it, but because you're right, that kind of simple way of doing it has got a lot of appeal. Okay. So again, this is set up, okay, to have all three. Now, how did I get to set that up? I started out with a structure called soup. And here is the structure. And so I said the structure is that this structure is going to have a item number, an item name, and a price. So that is the structure that I'm using for the array, is soup is going to have it. So since I want to use that structure, I say dim item array as soup. And here is what soup looks like. So I'm telling it there that the array is going to have an item number, and we see that, an item name, and we see that, and a price. So those breakdowns that we were going through, item name, item number, item price, didn't just happen by magic. I couldn't just write them there. What I had to do is say, dim the array following this structure, and this structure is going to have an item number, item name, and price. So now the array can have an item number, an item name, and a price, because that's the structure of the things in the array.
When we talked about this, too, you have to add the structure, right? Click on like the next part.
I'm not sure what you mean. I need to have the structure, and I need to tell the array that it's using that structure.
You need to open that for yourself and put structure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What if you labeled the structure not in sequential order? Would that matter?
Yes.
Okay.
She says with almost pure confidence, but I honestly have never tried it. I would be really surprised if it did. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Okay, but some of the questions people ask, it never occurred to me to try, so...
Yeah, I do hear things sometimes.
I can't... Yeah, I've noticed. Okay, so I'm saying set up an array. I wanted to have the structure of soup. Here's soup. So I tell it the structure. Then when I set up the array, I can say... This part dot item number, this part the array dot item name, the array dot price. And that means that since I've got that, I can then come down and refer to item array, item sub, my dot item number, so I can refer to the item number. And work soup has been defined as soup as well. So that's why when I send it back up, work soup has got the same look as it. So remember I said I was sending up 27 onion soup, 446, and I was sending it to work soup? Work soup has been set up to be the structure of soup. So it's expecting three things. And so I send the three things back, and it's got the three things, okay? And then I say, okay, now go do the search, and when you're done with the search, return an item in the array, and that item in the array is going to return the three things that WorkSoup is made up of. which is the item name, item number, the item name, and the price. So I made a structure, and I'm using that structure to define the array, and I'm also using that structure to define a work area. So this work suit has got an item number, item name, and a price in it. Okay? So it's not just a field, it's a field that has three parts.
So the only thing that seemed like was really confusing technically was just the search array. Like everything else seems pretty much normal.
Right. Have you been here all the times when I did the search?
I thought I was, but it's functions from C++, not functions from here. So.
Okay, I set up a function and I just write it. And I wrote function array. I'm going to receive something by value. And as I said, the other way of receiving it is by reference, and we'll go into those after next week. So I'm receiving it by value as an integer, and this search array is going to return an object.
And does it have to be called search array, or is that...
No, I just made up a name for it. And then I go down inside there, and I say, okay, in item sub is starting with 0, match indicator is starting with no. And then I'm saying, okay, do until item sub is greater than 8, because there's only 8 elements in the array, or 9, because it starts with 0. But I can't go past 8. So do it until I either run out of things to look at, or the match indicator equals yes, meaning I found a match. So get out of here when I either have checked everything and it's not there, or I found a match. So now I'm saying what I want to do is compare the item number that came in, which was 27 in my last example, to the item number that is in the array that item sub is pointing to. And item sub is starting out at a 0, so it's checking the 0 one. It's not a match, so it adds one to item sub and loops back. And it keeps doing it until 27 finds a match when the item sub is 6. And so at that point, the match indicator gets set to yes. When it finds a match, the match indicator gets set to yes. Now, I had two reasons for leaving this loop. One is that the sub got past the endpoint, and the other is the match indicator got set to yes. I don't know which reason it was, so I need to check. If match indicator goes yes, then I'm returning the item in the array, which is the whole thing that item sub is pointing to. Otherwise, I am returning match not found. Okay? So whatever you returns into work soup, because work soup is equal to the result of doing the search. And so whatever I return goes into work soup. And I have defined work soup. That's the structure that defines work soup. So it returns the item number, the item name, and the price, because it has the same structure as the array. The array has those three things, and I dimmed work soup as soup, meaning it has that structure. So work soup has the structure of three parts, just like my structure up above says. It has the three parts that I put into the structure called soup. So the array follows that structure of three parts, and work soup follows that structure of three parts. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. So this has kind of a lot of interesting things in it, because it brings up a separate form and it uses structures. And maybe I should have talked about the structure first, but I decided that it would be better to go through it and then talk about the structure. Okay. Time flies when you're having fun. I'm going to skip the next one because that gets into too many things that I don't want to do, given the time. So we will look at that. And the last one was called what? More arrays revived. Is that what it is?
Revised.
What did I click on? Okay, I've set up three different arrays, so I'm back to the nice thing of setting up three different arrays. And two of them go up to 4, and one of them goes up to 7. Okay, and when I set them up, I use coarse count as opposed to a hard number there, and that's fine. So if I run this, I said show array, and it is showing the array. Okay, so I went to num array modified by concat, and I concatenated with a space, and I showed word array modified by count. And then I put work info into the box. Okay. Then the next one does a search. So this isn't as much doing new things as kind of consolidating some of the things. The next one does a search. And I'm looking for a particular course, so I'll look for 156. And when I do a search, I forgot. I add the 156 when the pop-up comes up. And that comes back and tells me Visual Basic. Okay. So this is much more like the normal kind of search that we do. I input a number. I'm searching where it's less than 5 or and match indicator equals no. Okay, so in the last one, I did a search while work sub. I said do until. In the last one, I said do until work sub is greater than 8 or match indicator equals yes. Either one or the other got me out. Now I'm looking at what keeps me in. So this is what keeps me in. So the until on the last one was what got me out. This is what keeps me in. Do while work sub is less than 5 and the match indicator is no. If work sub gets to be 5, I'm out. And if the match indicator gets set to yes, I'm out. So the do until, which we looked at on the last one, was what got me out. This is what keeps me in. Keep doing it while the sub is less than 5 and the match indicator is a no. So keep doing it while those are true. If the sub gets bigger, get out. If match indicator becomes a yes, get out. Okay? So the until that we looked at on the last one was what got me out. Because on the last one that I said was if the index, whatever it was greater than 8, or I got a yes. Okay, so either of those got me out. Okay, so do until. Until the index is greater than 8 or it's yes. And that is what got me out. This one is what keeps me in. It keeps me in. Both of them have to be true.
You could do the same thing though, right?
Absolutely. It's just two ways, and the reason I'm emphasizing is there's just two ways you can choose how you want to write this. This could have said been do until work sub is greater than 4 or match indicator equals yes. Okay.
I have a question.
So maybe I'm not sure whether I'm confusing the issue by leaving that example there or not, but I will. I'll be with you in a minute, but let me finish answering his. So, I'm going to get out of this. Come on, I want to get rid of the ink. Can we just get rid of the ink, please? You're not getting enough sleep.
Oh, God, no. No,
I'm not. That was... Okay, so, all right, so I can't move around in a computer to save my soul today. Okay, so I could have had this until work sub is greater than 4 or in match indicator. Equals yes. Okay. So I'm saying this again is what keeps me in. My thing does not want to cooperate today. Keeps in. And this is gets me out. So if the sub goes greater than 4, I want to get out. Or if I find a match, I want to get out. This one I want to stay in. And notice that one has an or and this one has an and. I want to stay in while the index is okay and the match indicator is no. I want to stay in. So one of them is the two things, one or the other, gets me out. But the keeps me in is both of these have to be true. Okay, your turn. Yeah.
Oh, why, you might have covered this in another class and I might miss it, but why are the variables are initialized locally at the top, why are they like number 8? CRS, CT, like, I get the, you set the CT at the top, but why is it that you put the sub in?
Okay, because the only place I need the sub is in this particular routine.
Okay.
So local things I define here, global I define up at the top. Okay, so local, these are local. which means they're only available in this routine. Or sub. They're only available in this routine. Where the ones that are defined up in the top are global, and global are available to all routines.
I mean, like, what? All right, so we set the count to four, the integer. You know,
where am I setting the count to four?
At the top, CRSCT, at the integer.
Worst count
four.
Right, okay, that's right.
Okay, so then,
I just was at the wrong place.
So then we pass that to the number array, basically, and the word array. And that's what I was saying. Why?
Yeah, it's not as much passing. I could have just hard-coded the four in there.
Okay.
That would have been fine. I just like to do it different ways.
That's
to drive you crazy.
That's all I was wondering.
How am I doing?
Yeah, good now.
Yeah, no, it could be done.
I'm a hard coder. No,
I'm right.
So, sorry.
I mean, the problem with being a hard coder is that when you change your mind and you add something, there's a lot of places you have to fix.
Yes.
Whereas if I hard coded, if I put the hard code here, and then use course count, I've only got one place to change that.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so it makes sense to not hard code thinking of the future.
Yeah.
It's fine for this program and fine for getting your grade,
yeah, okay.
But out in the real world, you have to think about the future. Okay, we did not go as far as I thought we would go today, but that's okay. We will pick up on it on Thursday because we have 3 minutes left and that's not enough time to even load another program, let alone run it. So, take a look at the three that are under the chapter because that's what we're going to look at. If you go to programs, examples, there we go, no. And it's under arrays. And there's three, intro array, calc array, and more arrays. And we're going to look at those three. And those shouldn't take much time. So then we're going to move on to procedures and functions, which is back. I kind of skipped procedures and functions, although I did a little bit with it. Well, we're going to go back and look at this some more. We started looking at it today. And then we're going to look at multiple forms if we have time. Okay, we're done.